Sechtes Bar Basra, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, two lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Beis, and the Gemara just finished discussing the dinim and the makarios of the first category of a Mishnah, which stated ve'ilu neichlu manchilin ha'av esabonim va'abonim esav va'achem ena'av, and the Gemara now continues with the second category listed in our Mishnah, where the din is that these craven will receive an inheritance but will not bequeath or be marriage to the other, and there isn't a reciprocal relationship. And the Mishnah stated ha'ishas imoy ve'ishas ishtay u'bnei achayis neichlu manchilin, and let's remember that the third category of the Mishnah was reverse cases, and as the Mishnah stated, the Ishas Benea, the Ishas Baila, the Chayim, Manchilim, and the Gemara will ultimately ask, Dahinu Hach, and why did the Mishnah have to list both the second and third category, and why did the Mishnah have to list the third category at all? And our Gemara begins, but Ishas Imai, a man is Yerish and inherits his mother, however, a man isn't Yerish to his mother, and for example, if Rachel dies, then his son Reuven will inherit her estate, however, if Reuven dies, then his mother Rachel will not inherit his estate, and let's keep in mind, this isn't the Mishnah didn't say the ish ve'ishas imam. So once again, it's mashma that his son takes precedence over a daughter. And if Rachel dies and she leaves over a son, let's call him Reuven or his children, as well as a daughter, let's call her Dina. Then Reuven or his children will be the sole heirs, and Dina won't receive any part of the Yerusha. But let's keep in mind that certainly, if Rachel died and only left over a daughter, Dina, then Dina will certainly inherit Rachel's entire estate. And our Gemara begins and asks minani mili that although it's true that Pashas Pinchas in relation to the Yerusha of Bnei Slavchad, the Pasuk taught us, Ish ki yamus ben inloi bar vatim es nachlas l'bitai, and we already learned that ben koinu l'bas, however, that's specifically discussing where one's father died, and as the Pasuk clearly states, Ish ki yamus. But our Gemara's question is, that number one, how do we know that a son inherits his mother's estate? And number two, how do we know that ben koinu l'bas b'nichse'im, and maybe they should inherit together and split the entire estate evenly? Ayin Tesis at the bottom of the Amid, who is bothered as to why the Gemara doesn't ask as to how we know that when a woman dies that her father or her brothers will inherit her, as although, as we just pointed out, the Torah is discussing a case where a man died, but certainly the halachas are all the same when a woman dies. Tesis explains that the Gemara is not bothered that a father or her brother will actually inherit her, as in those scenarios, there is no hasabas nachla, and the nachla doesn't change and go from shevet to shevet, and the state isn't uprooted from one shevet and given to another, and the state stays within mishpachas aviyah, and therefore it's pashut that there is no chiluk if a man or woman dies, as otherwise what would happen to a woman's estate, and as Tesis states, to atu nichsei nashim yu hefka, and therefore Gemara only asks this question in regard to a woman's son, when a nachla is potentially being transferred to another shevet, and maybe the Torah didn't give a son the ability to inherit from his mother, and we continue on daf kuf yud aleph from an aleph, and the Gemara brings a makor from Pashas Masai that states, v'chol bas yireshes nachla mimatis b'nei yisol, la'acham mishpachas mati aviyah tiyah le'isha, l'man yishu b'nei yisol ish nachlas avaysav, and the pasuk teaches us that if a woman receives an inheritance during the first generation, after Klai Yisrael went there in Teretz Yisrael, she would have to marry someone from her own Shevet and couldn't intermarry and marry someone from another Shevet, as if she did so, it was possible that the land that she inherited will be transferred out of her Shevet and will now belong to another Shevet. And the Lashon of the Pasuk is that she received an inheritance Mimatos B'nei Yisrael, which is a Lashon Rabbim, and it's mashma that she inherited property from two different Shvatim, and the Gemara explains that the Torah is discussing a scenario where Rachel's father was from Shevet Reuven and her mother was from Shevet Shimon, and her mother received the Yerusha from her father. As we know, a daughter can inherit from her father. Then both of Rachel's parents died, and now Rachel inherited an estate both from Shevet Reuven from her father and from Shevet Shimon from her mother, and therefore the Torah says that it's also to intermarry with another Shevet. As she does so, and for example, she marries someone from Shevet Levi, then her assets, which originally belonged to Shevet Reuven, will now transfer to Shevet Levi, as when she dies, her husband from Shevet Levi will inherit this property. And clearly we see from the Lashon of the Torah that states Mimatos B'nei Yisrael that Rachel can inherit from her mother. And let's be clear that the Torah's Eitzah of getting married to someone from her own Shevet and marrying someone from Shevet Reuven is not actually going to help completely, as since she received the Yerusha from her mother who is from Shevet Shimon, so even if she went and got married to someone in Shevet Reuven, so in Chanami, any assets that she received from Shevet Reuven will remain within Shevet Reuven, but Lemaisa, the assets that she received from her mother who is from Shevet Shimon will transfer at her death either to her husband or to her son who are from Shevet Reuven, and there will still be Hasabas Nachla, and as the Rashbam points out, that the Gemara will discuss this a bit later. The Rashbam also explains that the scenario must have been where at the time that Rachel's mother, and let's call her Rivka, got married, Rivka still had brothers, therefore at that point, if her father would have died, then her brothers would have inherited her father, and therefore she wasn't Ruya to inherit the estate of her father who was from Shevet Shimon, and only after Rivka got married to Rachel's father Yitzchak did her brothers die without leaving over any children, and then Rivka Rivka's father died, and Rivka inherited the estate, which was from Shevet Shimon. And as Rashbam explained, that if Rivka would have had any brothers, then it would have already been also for her to intermarry, and she wouldn't have been able to marry someone from Shevet Reuven. At that point, it was already possible to have a Sabbas Nachla, and intermarriage would have been also. And Rashbam states, the Lekapikra El Shebashasta Suyin, Loite Ruya Liush Nuxiav. And the Gemara now continues, the Ainli Elabas Ben Minayin, that although clearly we see that a daughter inherits from her mother, but maybe the Torah was Makbid, that a son inherits from his father, and only a daughter inherits from her mother. And how do we know that a son inherits from his mother at all? And the Gemara responds, Amrit Kaval Chaimba, Umma Bashu Kaycha Benichseav, Yafa Kaycha Benichseim, Ben Shiafa Kaycha Benichseav, and Yadin Shiafa Kaycha Benichseim, Umimakish Rabasa, Malalon Ben Kaydal Mabas, Afkam Ben Kaydal Mabas. The Gemara states that we learned this from the Kaval Chaimba, that Madacha daughter who has a weaker Kaych Benigay Usha Sevilla and doesn't inherit unless there aren't any sons, and even so, she is able to inherit from her mother. So clearly, a son that is the sole heir of his father, even when there is a daughter, then certainly he should have the ability to yashir from his mother, at least at the same level, and evenly with his sister. And the Gemara continues to explain that since we learn this din from the son's koyach by Yerusha Sa'av, so we extend this drasha, and we also learn that since b'negei Yerusha Sa'av, a son takes precedence over a daughter, so the same din applies b'negei Yerusha's imay, that a son will inherit prior to a daughter. And the Rashbam points out that the Gemara will ask that since the makar that a son inherits from his mother is learned from a kal v'chaima, so certainly we should say the din of dayoi, and at best he should yashin on the same level as a daughter, and they should split the estate evenly. However, the Gemara will actually bring that the reason why a son takes precedence of a daughter is actually based on a hekesh, which teaches us that in this case we shouldn't say dayoi, and that is what the Gemara means when it's stated u'imakim shabasa, meaning that we have a hekesh to teach us his limud. However, the Gemara teaches us that although the Tanakam of this braisa, as well as the Tanav Mishnah, are not bothered by the issue of dayoi, however, there is a Tana that is bothered with this issue, and therefore he actually learns that b'negei Yerusha Se'im, there is no chiluk between a son and daughter, and they both inherit equally from their mother. And if a woman dies, leaves over a son and daughter, then they would actually split the Yerusha evenly, and a son doesn't take precedence over a daughter. And as the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Blaz, Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Meshum, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav, Echra ben Be'echra Bas, Shavim Menachseim, Mai Taimo, Dayi Lovin Adin, Lias Kenidim, as we explain. And the Gemara continues, V'tanakam Aloi Darish Dayi, V'dayi Dereisu, L'Lachir, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav Svara, makes a lot of sense, as since the only way that we know that a son yashes his mother is only through a kal v'chaima, then certainly we should say dayi lav min adin lias kenidayin, and at best a son should yashin together with the daughter, and they should split the estate evenly, and he shouldn't take precedence over a daughter. And certainly the Gemara feels Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav has a good taino, and therefore the Gemara is v'tanakama loy darish dayi v'dayi deraisa. But how can it be that Tanakama holds that a son takes precedence over a daughter when inheriting nichseim if the entire makar inherits is from a kal v'chaima, from a daughter? And therefore, certainly, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav is correct that the klal of dayoi should apply, and you can't say that Tanakama doesn't hold the klal of dayoi, as the klal of dayoi is a din deraisa. And how do we know that it's a din deraisa? The Tanan, as we see in the following braisa in Teres Kainim, and this braisa is a continuation of the braisa that we say in the morning, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Bishleisha Sutra Midas, Hatarin Adrashban, one of the Yud Gimel Midas is Midin Kavachema, and the braisa then continues and explains each of these Midas and states, Midin Kavachema Ketzad, that where do we see a case of a Kavachema in the Torah? And as Rashi in Mesech Tzvachim states, Minayin Shatarin Noli Dorish Kavachema, and the braisa continues and brings the Pasuk in Pashat Bal Yisra that discusses the Tzuras of Miriam after she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Pasuk states, Vayemeh Shem Moshe Vavia Yorik Yorik Befanea Haloiti Kolim Shivas Yamim Tisoga Shivas Yamim Mechutz L'machna Ve'achat HaYosef. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe that certainly if a father is angered at his child and spits in her face, so certainly one would be embarrassed for 7 days. So Kavachimra, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry and gives Musa to a person, that they should be embarrassed for 14 days. And really, Miriam should be a Mitzariah for 14 days. And as the Gemara states, Kavachimra L'shchino Abba Asa. However, L'maisa, that is not the din, and Miriam was only a Mitzariah for 7 days. And the reason is, El Dai Lovin Adin Lias Kinidoin. And therefore, we see that the concept of Dai is the Raisa. And how could the Tanakama argue on Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav? And the Gemara answers, Ba'al Madarish Dayoi, V'shani Hocha Da'om Akro Mi Matois, Makish Mata'im L'mata Av, Ma Mata'av Ben Kainul Abbas, Av Mata'im Ben Kainul Abbas. The Gemara explains that certainly the Tanakama generally hold in the concept of Dayoi, but when the Gei Yerusha Se'im, since the Makar, that daughter Yashin's her mother, is from the word Matois, and the Torah really should have stated, V'chol Bas Yereshes Nachlo Mishnei Matois B'nei Yisrael. Therefore, since the Torah stated, Mi Matois B'nei Yisrael, so we learn a Hekesh between the two Matois that she inherited. And just like we know that when when Rachel inherits from her father, ben kedul abbas, so when she yashins from her mother, the same din applies, and ben kedul abbas. And l'chari tzarech bia, that if we have this hekish, then why would the Tanakhama need a kavachim at all, but tzarech bia? And Pasuk can answer similarly to what Taisa states on daf kuf yud alef amud beis, but again a different question than milsad asid b'kavachim or tarech b'kasul lakra avot tzarech bia. And we just saw a machleket between Tanakhama and Rabbi Chaya ben Akatsiv, as Tanakhama holds that ben kedul abbas b'nichseh im, while Rabbi Chaya ben Akatsiv holds that they are on the same level and inherit equally, as we do say dayoi. And the Gemara continued with three stories where Amoraim wanted to or did pasuk like Rabbi Chaya ben Akatsiv, and ultimately the Gemara will state Rabbi Shmuel de Amri Tavayu ain halacha k'Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsiv. And the first story is Rabbi Natoya sabal mevet uvda k'Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsiv, and Amalei Shmuel k'man k'Zechariah, and he stated afa Zechariah Rabbi Natoya wanted to pasuk like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsiv and give a brother and sister equal shares in their mother's estate. And Shmuel asked, do you hold like Zechariah, but we don't pasuk like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsiv? And the lashon that Shmuel used of afa Zechariah is from the lashon that the Torah states in Parshas Vayechi b'negei in Mitzrim when they were buying food from Yosef, and it states Office Kasaf, and Rashbam states that his words are batal and Allah doesn't follow Rabbi Chaya ben Akatsiv. And the Gemara now continues with the second story. Rabbi Tavla Ovid Ovdu Kerab Zechaya ben Akatsiv Omri Rabbi Nachman Mai Hai Omri Rabbi Chinna Bashalmi Mishmeid Rav Halach Kerab Zechaya ben Akatsiv and Omri Zila Hadabach and Vi Loi Mefik Lach Rabbi Chinna Bashalmi Meoneich. And the second story is Rabbi Tavla actually took action like Rabbi Zechaya ben Akatsiv, and he split up the estate of a woman evenly between a brother and sister. And Rabbi Nachman asked him, on what basis did you do so? And Rabbi Tavla responded that Rabbi Chinna Bashalmi said over the name of Rav that we pass like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsiv. And the Gemara tells us Rabbi Nachman responded that you have to retract your psak and you have to take the estate back from the daughter. And as Rabbi Tavla explained, that the loch is that Tavid Vav Mishnah, that the loch is Chayza. And as we will see a bit later, that Rav actually paskins against Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsiv, and he paskins like the Tanakam of our Braisa, clearly is also the sheet of our Mishnah, as our Mishnah states that a son inherits a mother. And if it would be true that a son and daughter inherit a mother evenly, then the Mishnah should have stated Ben Abbas are Yerush their mother. Rabbi Nachman stated that if you won't be Chayza, I will put you in Chayrim, and I will remove Rabbi Chinna Bashalmi from being able to support you. And the Gemara now continues with the third story. Rabbi Chinna Bachia Sabla Mevet Uvduk Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsiv Amalei Rabbi Nachman Mai Hai Amalei Dam Rabbi Chinna Amrav Halach Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsiv Amalei Ashalchlei. And the Gemara states Ichsif Amalei Hashtaki Nach Nafshi de Rabbi Chinna It's Rishis Lekibli. And Rabbi Chinna Bachia wanted to pass it like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsiv, and once again Rabbi Nachman asked, on what basis do you want to pass in this way? And Rav Huna Bachir responded that Rav Huna stated the name Rav that we pass like Rav Zechariah ben Akatsiv. So Rav Nachman now asked Rav Huna Bachir, should I send a message to Rav Huna and find out if he actually said this in the name of Rav? And as Rashbam explained, Rav Huna Bachir was embarrassed, as either he was concerned that Rav Huna was Chayza, or he wasn't really sure if he really heard this properly from Rav Huna. And as Rabbeinu Geshem states, v'ichsef Rav Huna Bachir, as the iu lo yava amah hachim ishmed Rav Huna el kedei lahamid devarav and v'talo begav Rav k'Rav Huna. And according to Rabbeinu Geshem, really Rav Huna Bachia never heard this from Rav Huna. And Gemara continued that Rav Nachman responded to Rav Huna Bachia that if Rav Huna would have already died, then I wouldn't have been able to shlug you up, and I wouldn't have been able to verify the lacha, as you would have never admitted that you weren't 100% sure that Rav Huna stated this in the name of Rav. And the Gemara now continues and asks that by the fact that in the last two stories Rav Nachman was so certain and took such a strong position, even though Rav Tavla and Rav Huna Bachia stated that they relied on a psak from Rav, and they each brought this from a different Talmud of Rav, and therefore it seems to be genuine. So it seemed to be that it was clear to Rav Nachman that Rav never said this, and therefore Gemara asks that who does Rav Nachman hold like, and how was he so certain that Rav didn't hold like Rabbi Chaya ben Akatsiv? And the Gemara responds, Ki had Rav Shmuel da Amri Tavayu ein halacha k'Rav Zechariah ben Akatsiv. Gemara brings in memory that both Rav and Shmuel agree that the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsiv, and we paskin that ben kedul bas even when inheriting a mother's estate. And l'chari was clear from the first story that Shmuel doesn't pass like Rabbi Chaya ben Akatsiv. However, the Gemara now brought a raya that even Rav holds that in halacha k'Rav Zechariah ben Akatsiv, either Rav was actually Chayza, or both the member of Rav Chinna Bashalmi and Rav Huna weren't genuine or reliable. And the Gemara continues with another story. Mistamich v'ozer Rav Yanai akasva d'Rav Simlai shamei v'ozer Rav Yehuda nesi lapayu and amalei bar inish d'ozer l'kablana hu yoy v'gose yoy kimot l'gabei g'shosha amalei din shiuri kisak. And the Gemara tells us that Rav Yanai was old and wasn't able to see very well, and he was walking and leaning on Rav Simlai, who was a shamus and was leading him. And Rav Simlai saw Rav Yehuda Nasiya walking toward them, and he told Rav Yanai, a great Talmud Chacham is coming towards us, and he is wearing a beautiful beged, or the beged of a Talmud Chacham. And some explained that gulsei refers to a hat. And Rav Yehuda Nasiya came close closer to Rabbi Yannai, Rabbi Yannai felt his beged, and Rabbi Yannai said that this beged is extremely coarse, as Tosis points out, and has the status of a sackcloth, but again, hilchos tumo. And as we know that the Mishnah Maseches Klayim teaches us that a small piece of fabric is mekabel tumo, even if it's only 3x3 etzbois, while a piece of sackcloth isn't so chashuv, and people would throw them away, and therefore it's only mekabel tumo if it's 4x4 tvachim, as even a sackcloth that's 4x4 tvachim has a use, and people would not throw it away, and therefore it's mekabel tumo. And the Gemara now continues that boy minei, at this point, Rabbi Yehuda asked Rabbi Yannai a question, and this question will be the same question that we already have been discussing. As the Gemara continues, minay leben shekoyim lebas b'nichse eim amalei d'chsev matos makish mata eim lemata av ma mata av ben koyim lebas av mata eim ben koyim lebas. And Rabbi Yehuda asked, how do we know that a son takes precedence over daughter even when inheriting their mother's estate? And it's important to note that although Rabbi Yannai didn't mention our original kavuchayma, the Rashbam explains that Rabbi Yannai responded that there is a kavuchayma between Yerushas HaBen and Yerushas HaBas, and in addition, we don't say daya because the Torah uses Loshin Matais, and we are makish mata'im l'mata av. And just like we already know that Ben Koyim l'Bas by Yerushas HaBen, as the Pasuk stated, V'avatamis nachlos l'bitoi, and therefore, based on this hekesh, the same didn't would apply by Yerushas HaIm and Ben Koyim l'Bas, even by the gay Yerushas HaIm. Rabbi Yehuda Nasir now asked Rabbi Yannai, Amalei ima mata av b'chor neutel b'shnayim, af mata'im b'chor neutel b'shnayim, that if you're relying on a hekesh, and we know it ain't hekesh l'mechza, so we also state that not only does the son take precedence over daughter by Yerushas HaIm, but a b'chor would receive pishnayim even by Yerushas HaIm, just like he's entitled to pishnayim by Yerushas HaAv. And we continue on daf kufir al from a base, and amalei l'shamei good less dayin savi l'melaf, that Rabbi Yannai wasn't happy with Rabbi Yehuda and see his question, and he felt the answer was pashut, and therefore he told his shamis Rabbi Simloi, let us continue walking, as this person isn't interested in learning, as only interested in asking questions. The Gemara now continues and asks, v'taim amai l'maisa, what is the answer to Rabbi Yehuda to see his question, and why doesn't his son receive pishnayim from his mother's estate? And the Gemara continues, Amabaya amakra b'chol shi'imotzi loy, and we learn out loy v'loy lo. And Abaya explains that b'negei din b'chor, the pasuk in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei tells us, ki as a b'chor ben asnua yaker losses loy pishnayim b'chol shi'imotzi loy, ki hu reishis oinoy loy mishpada b'chora. We therefore learn that a b'chor is only entitled to pishnayim from his father's estate and not from his mother's estate. And as the pasuk states, b'chol shi'imotzi loy, that a b'chor only receives pishnayim in the estate of his father, b'loy lo, and not in the estate of his mother. And the Gemara continues and asks, ve'ema hanimili b'chosh nasa amana, av b'chosh nasa b'sula, hachanami d'shokol. The Gemara continues and asks that possibly the only time where b'chor would not receive pishnayim from his mother is in a scenario where his father was a b'chor when he got married, and his mother was an amana, and she already had children, and therefore certainly he wouldn't receive pishnayim from his mother's estate, as he is in her firstborn. But maybe in a scenario where b'chor married a b'sula, then since this child is not only a b'chor to his father, but he's also b'chor to his mother, so maybe he would be entitled to pishnayim even from his mother's estate. And the Gemara responds, Aram Nachman Yitzchak Amakra Rishis Oinoi, and we learn out Oinoi V'loy Oinoi. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak explains that since the pasuk states Rishis Oinoi, that is first of his strength, and as we will see in the Gemara, that the pasuk could have stated Rishis Oin, and instead it stated Rishis Oinoi. So the pasuk teaches us that the reason why b'chor gets pishnayim is based solely on the father, and it's based solely on the fact that he's Rishis Oinoi, and it's mashma that b'chor only receives pishnayim from his father, but even if he's Rishis Oinoi, and he's actually the first of his mother's power, and he's the b'chor of his mother, he would not be entitled to pishnayim from his mother's estate. And the Gemara continues and asks Rav Nachman Yitzchak, how can you say that we learn that a b'chor doesn't receive pishnayim from the estate of his mother from the pasuk of Rishis Oinoi? But ahumi boyle lebo'ach nefalim dolhevi b'chol anachla mishili b'dover love yatzezeh she'inli b'dover love. And the Gemara asks that we already learned something from the words Rishis Oinoi, and we learned that even though b'degei pidya ben, a b'chor is defined based on the mother, and the only way that a child is considered b'chor b'negei pidya ben is if he is peter rechem of his mother, and if a woman had a nephil, the first viable child isn't considered b'chor, and the din of pidya ben doesn't apply. However, b'negei nachla, the din of b'chor is dependent on a child being the first viable child, as the Torah states, ki yu reishis oinoi. We learn out that b'chol nachla is dependent on the first child, that liba shel adam davar lav, and a father doesn't have as strong of a connection to a nephil, and only truly mourns over ben kayama. And lafi zeh, the lashon of oinoi is not referring to a person's strength, but similar to lashon aninus, and a father is only fully misabel on a child that is a viable child. And the Drashi Masechtas Nida states, leave avil misabel al meisai hu dechashiv le'inyan nachla. The Gemara responds, im kein le'mekrok hu reishis oin mai oinoi shma minotati, that in chenami, that we learn both drashes from the words ki hu reishis oinoi, as really the pasuk could have stated ki hu reishis ayin, and since it states oinai, therefore we learn both of these drushes. Number one, we learn that a bechor b'negei nachla is defined as the first child that is a viable child that is born from his father. And number two, we're able to dashin oinai v'lo yainah, that even if his son is the firstborn of his mother, that he doesn't receive pishnayim from his mother's estate. But the Gemara continues and asks, v'akati ema hani mili alman shenasa besula avabacha shenasa besula hachinami deshakel. Now, though certainly from this pasuk we can learn kihu reishis oinai v'lo yainah, and therefore certainly there is some sort of a bechor that will not be entitled to pishnayim from his mother's estate. But let us say that that is talking about a very specific scenario, and we're talking about a scenario that although this child is reishis oinah and it's her firstborn child, but the maisa, the child's father was previously married and already had a child, and therefore this child is not a bechor to his father. And maybe that's why the Torah teaches us that even though he's the firstborn child of this mother, however the maisa, since he's not the firstborn child of the father, so he's not entitled to pishnayim. However, we could still say that if there was a bechor that is not only the firstborn child of his mother, but is also the firstborn child of his father, so maybe we would say that since he's entitled to receive pishnayim from his father's estate, so maybe he will also be entitled to receive pishnayim from his mother's estate. And as Rashbam states, "Avol hecha dehavi gam oinoi kagoyim bachash nasa besula eimu migu deshakol pishnayim b'shalai shakol nami pishnayim b'shalah da'av b'chol nachla bein la'av bein la'im d'lech l'ukmim miyuta da'oinoi v'lo yoinah el b'may d'domi l'mutei tfei kagoyim hecha d'lech reishis oin m'shnei tzadin." And finally the Gemara ends, "Elam rava amakral b'lei mishpat b'chayra mishpat b'chayra l'ish v'lei mishpat b'chayra l'isha." And Rav explains that the end of this pasuk states "loy mishpat b'chayra," and even though the pasuk pshat in the words "loy mishpat b'chayra" is even though this child is a ben asnua, he is still entitled to receive pishnayim. However, Rav dashens that's as if the pasuk is telling us that all the halachas and dinim of pishnayim are only relevant to loy and only relevant to a father's estate and not relevant to a mother's estate. And as Rashbam points out, that at this point we can't make any exceptions, as the Torah is teaching us a general klal that the concept of pishnayim was never stated regarding a mother's estate. And as Rashbam states on the second of the wide lines, the minukama mishpat b'chayra klalu shekolal kol dinim b'chayra b'nichse ish v'loy b'nichse isha. And similarly, ayin teisa diba maschal loy mishpat b'chayra, where he says a similar idea to Rashbam, and he ends off the kredel el os l'drasha achriti. Even though at this point l'chayra we don't need the drasha of abaya that states b'chal shiyamotzi loy, and we learned out loy v'loy law, and according to Nachma Yitzchak, he wanted to learn out from the pasuk that states reish oinoi, and we learned out oinoi v'loy oinah. And teisa explains that inachinami those psukim are coming for other drushes. Let's keep in mind that other rishonim actually learned the Gemara a bit different than the Rashbam and Taisis, and they learned that the end result we actually learned from all three psukim. And as the Gemara previously stated that from the pasuk that Abaye brought a bechal shimatzilay loy v'loy la, then we would say that that is only referring to a bachash nasa amana. And then from the limud of Nachma Yitzchak brought of reishis oinoi oinoi v'loy oinah, we would learn that that pasuk is specifically teaching us a din that a bechor would not receive pishnayim from the state of his mother, where his father was an almoin, even though his mother was a besula, and this is her first child. And finally, from the pasuk that Rabbi brought of loy mishpat b'chayra, we now say that the only thing left to actually learn is only a case where there's a bechor that's not only bechor le'imoy but also bechor l'aviv, and even so, he still doesn't yashin from his mother's estate, ayin shum. And let's keep in mind that it's interesting that Rabbi Yane would state, good, less dain salvi le'melef, if it just took Abaya and Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, as well as Rabbi, 13 lines, almost half of the Amud, to figure out the makar of this halacha. And the Gemara continues and quotes for the next case of the Mishnah, as the Mishnah stated of Ishes Hishtoi, that a husband inherits his wife, and it's important to note that although we already discussed the standard order of Yusha, but this was only relevant to blood relatives. However, since the Torah teaches us that a husband inherits his wife, although she isn't a blood relative, so as Rashbam points out, it must be that a husband takes precedence over all other heirs, and when a woman dies, the order of Yerusha is as follows. As number one, her husband would yashin her, number two, her sons, then her daughters, then her father, then her brothers and sisters, then her paternal uncles, etc. And let's keep in mind that the Mishnah stated that although a husband inherits his wife, however, a woman doesn't inherit her husband, and as the Mishnah stated, Eilu Neichlin V'loy Manchilin. And the Gemara now asks, Minani Mili, that what is the makar that a husband inherits his wife, and what is the makar that a woman isn't entitled to inherit from her husband? And the Gemara continued, the Tanur Rabbanan, as we learned in the Braisa, She'ere Zu Ishtoi, Milame Shabal Yerushis Ishtoi, Yochel Afi Tirshenu, Tamalema V'yorush Eisa, Hu Yerush Eisa, Vein Hi Yerush Eisa, that since the Pasuk of Pasha Bincha states, Unisatim Esnachlasi L'She'erai, and She'erai refers to a person's wife, either based on the Pasuk and Pasha Bereshis that states, V'hoi L'basa Echad, and the Lashon She'erai refers to skin, or based on the Pasuk that talks about the Chiyuvim that a husband has to his wife, and the Pasuk states, She'erai K'susavayinasa L'yigra. Therefore, we learn from this Pasuk that a husband inherits his wife, and the Gemara states that you shouldn't think that this is a reciprocal relationship, and a woman would also be entitled to inherit a husband, and this would even be the most simple understanding of the pasuk, as the pasuk states, "When satam es nachlasu l'sheiri," and smashma, you will transfer your estate to your wife. And as Rashbam states, "Yochel api tirshenu the ikka pashte hachmashma l'satam es nachlasu l'sheiri," which refers l'ishtoi to his wife, v'nidru l'sheil krahachi l'satam es nachlasu yom yomus l'sheiri, that if a person dies, then his yerusha should go to his wife. V'yorish klima v'gam hu yorish sheiri im tamasu, and even a husband would have a right to yashin her, but ikka drasha would be that she actually yashins her husband. Brisa tells us that the pasuk states v'yorish eisa, which although the pashat taich is that he will inherit it, but the word eisa is extra, and as the pasuk could have stated v'yorisha, and as Taisa states in the bottom Taisa's hu yorish eisa mashmalei miyuta midloiksu v'yorisha umnechsev eisa mashma miyut dein hi yeresh eisa. And Taisa continues v'oid the legami v'yorish eisa miyusa, that the entire word of yorish eisa is extra, the mishayirish amin entirety the kim shayirish eisa mitam shi shayirai, as if she will yashin him because she's his wife, gamhu yoshenim mitam she'irai, then it must be that he will also yashin her, as they have the same relationship, and it'll be a reciprocal relationship. And Taizik continues, umiyu kasha, the mai itzur klal miyot, as midu bekopet besibis habal, v'loi kopet besibis ha'isha, mashma de'ini yoresh eisai. And Taizik is bothered that why do we need any limud in order to teach us that a wife doesn't inherit her husband, as certainly it's pashut that she doesn't yashin him, as if she would yashin him, then for example, in a case where Rachel was from Shevet Shimon, and her husband Reuven was from Shevet Reuven, then when her husband dies, if she would yashin him, then the assets of her husband Reuven that are from Shevet Reuven would actually go to Rachel, who is from Shevet Shimon, and l'chayra, the pasuk should also be makbid on that, and therefore the Torah should have told us that any woman should not be able to marry out of her Shevet, and there would be a potential of her sabas and nachla, and the nachla could transfer from one Shevet to another. And the Gemara continues that although you brought a very nice drasha, l'maisa, this isn't what the pasuk says, and the pasuk states, "Dun satam es nachlasu l'sheiri," which is mashma, that a woman should inherit her husband. And the Gemara now brings two different ways to understand the psukim, as number one, Amar Abaya Taratachi, Unestatim Esnachlasa Likari Love She'irai V'yarisheisa. And Abaya explains that we should read the psukim as if there are two separate clauses, and number one, if the mace doesn't have any paternal uncles, then he should give the Yerusha to the closest relative of the mace. And Abaya states as if there is actually a comma, there is now a second separate clause, that She'irai, that if a person's wife dies, then V'yarisheisa, then a husband should inherit her. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rava Sakina Charifa Mifsuka Krai, that L'chari, you can't perform surgery on a pasuk, and you can't cut it up and move whole words around, as you're moving the word she'irai to after the words hakari love, and you're moving the words hakari love to the prior clause, and therefore elam rava hachi ka'ama, that this is the pshat of the pasuk unesatam esachlos she'irai loy kasava goyin umesifim v'darshin. Rava explains that we don't have to cut up the pasuk, and instead we use a klal of goyin umesifim v'darshin, that in very limited cases we can move letters that are right next to each other and create a drasha. And since the pasuk says unesatam esachlosay l'she'irai, so we take the vav of nachlasai, we combine it with the lamed, which is right next to it from the word l'she'irai, and we form the word loy, and it's as if the pasuk states unesatam es nachlas she'irai loy. And Ayin Rashbam that is bothered that even though Rava gives his teretz, but l'maisa it seems that his question is still valid, as l'chayr it's still sakina charifa mifska l'kra, and we will quickly see the two explanations of the Rashbam. And he first explains v'lav dafka megarei omosif din kin Rava nami sakina charifa hu al pashtu l'kra ikalafusha ki'ilu garen omosif in darshin d'achi mashma unesatam es nachlasai loymu titzneu l'zer ish shatia nachlasai. The pasuk continues l'she'irai klema mi mitzava ani unesatam es yerusha li'es nachlasai l'she'irai la'oisa ish she'isha zei she'irai klema nachlasa isha titnu l'bayla. And Rashbam continues inami ikalameimad l'chosha pisa krai ela bakdomas tiva shlemas l'hakta bakar of l'she'irai al b'shina oisis leka pasukai krai v'ariyo k'misha kasa unesatam es nachlasa she'irai loy v'yorish eisa ahani loy lashminin d'yorish eisishrai v'hani eisa l'mu'utei isha she'ini yoresh l'bayla v'meil shemina d'tzarech l'grei l'hoisa v'lidrash Rashi shall pasuk k'maisha manu d'leitikshu reish l'seifai. And before we continue with the next Gemara, let's point out that the Gemara on Daf Kuf Chesam Abayz brought a brisa that used the term she'irai to learn that a father inherits from his son, and we stated she'irai zeh av, and how could our Gemara state that she'irai zeh ishtai? And of course, our Gemara is therefore going like the Shita Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi that we saw on Daf Kuf Tesam Alav, whose mekar that a father inherits from his son is from the pasuk of uben einloi barvatam estachlos l'bitai. And as we already saw in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Tesam Abayz, that the Gemara explained that l'fir of Shmuel Bar Yosi he would dashin she'irai zu ishtai, and this is the mekar that a husband inherits his wife. Therefore, let's keep in mind that l'fir original brisa that dashin she'irai zeh av, so l'maisa we still need to find a makar that a husband inherits his wife. And therefore, our Gemara continues, V'haytana ma'isla ma'acha. Although we just brought the limud of She'irizu ishtoi in order to teach us that a husband yashins from his wife, however, as we mentioned from the Rashbam, the second Tana of this Braisa, which will be Rabbi Shmuel, will actually bring a makar that a husband yashins his wife from a different limud. And as the Gemara continues, the Tana, as we learned in the Braisa, V'yarishayso melamin shabal yarishis ishtoi divu Rabbi Kiva. And Rashbam explains that really Rabbi Kiva is learning the makar that bal yarishis ishtoi, exactly as we have just explained, he dashin she'irizu ishtoi, and Rabbi Kiva is just pointing out that the Pasuk states, V'yarishayso, that although a husband yashins from his wife, but a wife would not yashin from her husband. However, the Braisa continues and brings the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel ima in itzarech. Rabbi Shmuel says we don't need this limud, and we have five other makaris that will teach us that the baal is yerushas ishtai. The first three of his limudim and the psukim that he will bring are psukim in Pashas Masai. The fourth pasuk will be from Sefer Yeshua, and the fifth pasuk will be from Divrei Yomim, and we will explain this in greater detail when we learn Daf Kuf Yud Beis and Aleph. And Rabbi Shmuel continues with the first pasuk as Hareo ima, as the pasuk in Pashas Masai states, the chol basi reshes nachlom in matois bnei Yisrael leechem mishpachas matavia tiel isha leman yeshu bnei Yisrael ish nachas avoisav. As Rabbi Shmuel continues, b'hasabas habal achas medaba, that the reason why the Torah states that a woman that received the Yerusha from her father's estate cannot marry anyone that's out of her shevet is in order to make sure that there's no hasabas habal and there's no transfer of nachla from one shevet to another. As lemaisa, if she gets married to a person from a different shevet, then if she dies, her husband will yashin her, and the estate that she received from her father will now transfer over to her husband Shevet. Rabbi Shmuel continues with his second makar. Va'oimen, as pasuk continues, v'leisisiv nachla l'bnei Yisrael mimata al-mata ki'ish b'nachas mata avosiv yudbiku b'nei Yisrael. Similarly, this pasuk is teaching us a din b'negei ha'savas habal. Va'oimen, then in pasuk test, the Torah tells us v'leisisiv nachla mimata al-mata achar ki'ish b'nachlasa yudbiku mata is b'nei Yisrael. Once again, the Torah teaches us a din b'negei ha'savas nachla to a woman's husband's Shevet. Va'oimen, and then the pasuk in Yeshua states, v'loz ben Aaron meis, that loz ben Aaron died, v'yikbru oisa begivis Pinchas benoi, and they buried him property that belonged to Pinchas, his son. And the Gemara asks, v'chim minayin l'Pinchas shloi loi l'alozo, that how did Pinchas have any kaka that did not belong originally to his father and didn't belong to his father? And why does the pasuk state that he was buried begivis Pinchas benoi? El milamin shenasa Pinchas isha umesa v'yarsha, and this teaches us Pinchas was married to a woman and she died and Pinchas yashined her, and therefore he had property that specifically belonged to him and did not belong to his father. And Rashbam points out that the Gemara daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph is that possibly the way that Pinchas had this property is because he bought it and therefore it didn't belong to Elazar. Finally, Rabbi Shmuel brings a fifth pasuk as Ba'im, as the pasuk in Divrei Yomim states, Uskuv Hoylud Etz Yair Ayihiloi Esim V'Shalosh Arim Be'Eretz HaGilad, that Skuv gave birth to Yair and Yair had 23 cities in Eretz HaGilad. And Rashbam states that even though the pasuk says Ba'ihiloi and it uses a pronoun and really could refer back to Skuv, that maybe Skuv owned these 23 cities and it didn't belong to Yair. Zokt Rashbam, the Chsiv L'Elmanei, Batei L'Loya Skuv, V'Hasim Havalei L'Mikhtavai Hiloi. And if this pasuk is referring to the property that was owned by Skuv, then it should have said it in that pasuk, Ela Yorakai, V'Oy Dichsiv Basrei, and the pasuk states afterwards, V'Yikach Hashor V'Aram, Eschavis Yorah Me'itam, and we see that the pasuk calls it the Chavis Yorah, and therefore we see that these properties belong to Yorah. And we continue on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and once again the Gemara is, V'Chim Menayin L'Yorah Shaloi Hoylo L'Skuv, Melamin Shinasa Yorah Isha U'Mesiv Yorsha, and it must be that Yorah got married to a woman and she died and Yorah inherited her estate, and therefore we see a makar that a baal is Yorah Shes Ishtoi. Ayin in Tap Taisiz Amid Tamil Rashba E L'Boya Oret Nischak Oret Amay Loi Hoyle Yorah Shaloi Hoylo L'Skuv, then why is it not possible that Yorah had property that did not belong to Skuv? Ayin Sham. And let's keep in mind that when the Gemara brought the first three psukim, the Gemara stated that all three psukim are talking about a sabbas habal. The Gemara will ask that maybe we're not talking about a sabbas habal, and possibly the reason why the Torah was makbid that a woman from one shevet should not intermarry with a person from another shevet is specifically discussing the issue of a sabbas haben and not a sabbas habal. And as Rashbam, five lines on the bottom of the states, v'dilma b'sibas haben akas b'daba shaben yerushes imoy v'hu misyachas achamata oviv v'nim sheshal yodo husband nachlo im tinasal shevet achar avla bal iklamim ed lo yoris v'ein imes of nachlo shevet shaloi v'shvil sibas habal lo yizarech man lo nasal shevet shaloh elo b'shvil sibas b'nah. And this will be the Gemara's question on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. And finally, let's keep in mind that although we explain Shitas Rabbi Kiva like Rashbam, and Rabbi Kiva is the same Shita that we previously had, and the Makarta Baal is Yerushas Ishtoi according to Rabbi Kiva is from the Pasuk that states She'irizu Ishtoi. However, Ayin Rabbeinu Geshem, that he actually learned that both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel are being Chaylik on our previous Makar. Rabbi Kiva also doesn't learn the Limud that Baal is Yerushas Ishtoi from the word She'irizu. she'irai, and instead his makar is from the words v'yarei she'isa, ayin sham, and we will stop over here.